In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community.
We pay our respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Can I sit with you?
Yes, you can sit with me.
And we want you to sit with us.
It's Dom.
And Ella.
You may know us from finding love on reality TV, and by that we mean with each other.
Two best friends figuring out life.
Chatting all things reality TV, because, I mean, how could we not?
And all things in between. Sex, relationships, dating, and navigating being a female in the world.
Unfiltered and fabulous advice
from your two besties.
Wow. How do we start today's episode? It's a bit of a...
It's not like our usual jolly welcome back to sit with us. It's, you know, welcome back. It's another week. We're very blessed to be alive to record today.
This week I feel like I just want to create a safe space for people to come. You know, obviously we wanted to cover a bit of, you know... And pay our respects, I guess, to the victims of what happened in Bondi over the weekend on the 13th of April. But also we wanted to be able to give you guys insight into how you can get help if you are feeling anxious or you're feeling overwhelmed from the news cycle and from everything that's happened. And if this is bringing up, I guess, feelings of feeling unsafe as a female, as you know, Ella and I have been feeling a bit this week. So, yeah, it is a bit of a somber mood, and it's been a heavy week. Like, I mean, it's only been a few days, but I think what the news cycle is in this country is that it's 24/7, and never, unless you are living on a rock or don't have Wi-Fi, you're gonna see this information.
Like, I've got some girlfriends who don't watch the news. Because I never used to watch the news.
Yeah.
I probably went basically until I probably started hanging out with you.
Yeah, I know.
Because you watch the news.
I've got it constantly at home.
I like made the conscious effort to not watch it over the years purely because it did make me very sad. I felt like it was, you know, it's things that are out of my control. I can't do anything about it and it would make me feel really upset and helpless and like, you know. So,
and it does come with all of those feelings too, right? I think for me, I've grown up watching the news in my household, so it's something that I guess I've grown up with. But also it's like I try to be as informed as possible as to what is happening in the society that I'm living in.
Yeah. And now I do watch it more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Guy also doesn't really like watching it. Like if we have it on and there's a lot of like sad things going on in the world, he also is like, you know, maybe we can turn it off. And I'm like, no, like I want to, because I don't read the paper either. So, and he reads the paper. So he reads things at work, whereas I only get to see it on the TV.
So that's his form of getting the news and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just going to go straight into it. And I know we do have a lot of international listeners, but this horrific tragedy has gone worldwide. Like it's made, you know, the news in America, in the UK, in every corner of the world because it is so horrific. And I think, you know, for those kind of countries, especially America, you know, you do hear about these shootings and things like that happening
every single day.
But for it to happen here in Australia and for an act of violence to happen like that, the way that it did, I think it is just so beyond shocking.
Well, it's like the country, we just stop.
We stop. It actually has felt as though the country has stopped, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It has really felt like that.
It's just so, from so many angles, it's so hard to comprehend, to understand. You know, then we put ourselves in their shoes. What if we were there? What would you have done? How could you have helped? How can I help now? That, like, there's so many angles.
There's so many angles. There's so many questions. It's like, how does something like this happen?
How does it even get to this?
Why? You know, and then it's like, why those people? Why, you know, five women and one man? A man that was, you know, on his first day in the job that put his body on the line to, you know, do his job. And the incredible work of the police officer that, you know, in the face of that insane danger, just was doing her job, which is to serve, protect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she needed to take control of the situation. You know, she was the only person in that moment that could, and she had to do what she had to do.
In a situation that it shows the worst of society, which is obviously the terrible actions of this man.
Yeah.
And I don't feel the need that we need to talk about him and say his name and all of that. Not because for any other reason other than that information is already out there and we're not a news site. We don't need to relay that information. But it was a sole perpetrator. There was only one person. I don't know why, but the TV was on and I was watching it all happen live, and there was all these different, you know, the news was saying that, you know, there's a person in there with guns. It's more than one person. Mm. And all of these, you know, things were coming out, and you don't know the truth until literally they've got the guy. They can go through the entire shopping center, which is a mammoth job, but it turned out that it was just this one guy who we know now was known to the police not for any criminal acts, purely for his mental health issues. Unfortunately, you know, this is a story that we hear all too often, not associated with the crime that he committed, but a lot of violence associated around people with mental health, unfortunately, because once they get to a level where they aren't in control of themselves and their mind and their bodies anymore, shit like this happens. Mm. And as we've now know, the perpetrator was mentally ill from the age of 17. Wow. I don't know if he had any siblings. I haven't heard that, but his parents were involved heavily with him growing up, you know, and helping him and making sure that he takes medication. And, you know, as someone myself that has struggled with mental health and has gone through that as a teenager, I was lucky enough to have parents around me that were, you know, have you taken your medication tonight, Dominica? Were on top of it, like would watch me take my medication, would make sure, you know, would monitor me. And I think, you know, I'm blessed to have a family like that, that when I was a teenager, I had that support, right? But obviously as this man got older, there's only so much you can do to contain a person's actions and behaviours as an adult.
As an adult. Because he lived at home, didn't he, till he was 35 or something?
Yes, correct. Yeah. And he's now 40. So he's obviously, he's been living rough, apparently. He'd been living rough, you know, being homeless and doing various odd things for money.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of people with so many questions as we are, like, why, you know, how does this happen? But there is no excuse for what he did.
Mm.
And this is that. That's my personal opinion. Mm. As someone that has struggled with a mental illness, I look at this, seeing a person who is severely mentally ill and had a lot of issues, I don't think that that is an excuse for what he did.
Mm.
Because I know so many people that struggle with their mental health, whether that be psychosis, schizophrenia, you know, manic depressive episodes. Those people don't go out and stab people and go to harm other people. It's just a lot. It brings up a lot of emotion for me about mental health. And I know so many of our listeners struggle because I get so many DMs all the time, especially when I open up about my weaning off antidepressants. And there already is such a huge mental health stigma in this country, in Australia.
Which also still blows my mind.
Unfortunately, there is. And I wish there wasn't. But that is the world that we currently live in.
Yeah.
And as much as we've progressed so much and we're openly talking about it now, and people, I guess, you know, there's so many more charities and people are opening up about it, there is still so much stigma.
Mm.
I know that back when, you know, I would be dating and meeting new people, and when it gets to that point, you know, in the relationship or whatever that you open, like I would have to open up and say, you know, I'm, and that is only because I want to,
yeah,
right? Yeah. You don't feel, you don't have to express to anyone that you're on medication for yeah. whatever. But that's the kind of person that I am because it's part of my story and I'm not ashamed of it. So for me, that's my way of, I'm trying to break down that,
yeah,
you know, that stigma.
Yeah.
But I think that this is going to really like affect the mental health stigma in this country. I think before we get into any more of the episode, I want to pay tribute to the people that lost their lives and say their names. We have 38-year-old first-time mother Ashley Good, 30-year-old Faraz Tahir, who was the security guard. We have 25-year-old Dawn Singleton, who was buying her wedding makeup. 47-year-old Jade Young was the mother of two children. 55-year-old Pikria Dachia, I hope I'm saying that okay, and Yuxan Cheng. They are the people that lost their lives in a senseless way.
Yeah.
At the hands of a man that was not in his right mind. That's not an excuse at all. I've fought so much with where my head's at with this because as someone that has struggled and does struggle with their mental health, like you know when you're spiraling and I'm speaking from experience. I feel sad that this man had no one around him to know, to see those signs, to see the signals, right? So that makes me upset.
Yeah.
But also knowing that this bloke was researching how to commit murder, that just shows me there was premeditation there, which also just makes me think that, that there is the finest line here between mental health and being evil. Like where does that line sit?
Yeah.
Because to take another person's life, and like I know that you have personal experience with psychosis and you know a lot about this and people that have been through that. I know it's a completely different thing. Like you are not in your right mind at all, right? Like it's just...
You're not, yeah.
So it's just one of those things that's really...
It's hard to talk about it without saying too much or not saying enough, I think, without offending people or, you know, obviously we have a podcast here where we want to... I mean, every episode we are as honest as we want can be. Yeah. You know, we always want to be very transparent with you guys. But I think when it comes to this sort of stuff, because it's so grey even in the media.
Yeah, of course.
It's grey in the system.
Where like, we get the our information from.
Yeah, like
from.
Everything in this sort of area I feel like is very grey and nothing is ever certain, like with information that they choose to give to us. And... that's why I find it really hard to comment on because, like, I mean, there's so much going in the world, going on in the world at the moment, even in Hollywood. And it's like, you know, I don't know. The media, online, TikTok, everything I feel is very filtered to what, you know, in ways.
And like you said, there is so much going on in the world. You know, there's a war in Gaza. There is so much shit happening. There's, you know, the war in Ukraine, like all of this. And... you know, yes, we are aware, like we watch the news, we educate ourselves, we're aware of what is happening in the world in all of these places and the horrific things that are happening. I think the reason that we came in today and wanted to touch on this subject in particular was because this hits really close to home.
Well, it's home. Like, it's your home. You know, it's my second home. Like, even coming to Sydney, like, my brother made such a valid point the other day when we heard about what was going on. He was like, you know, Ellie, you get on a plane and you go there every week. Like, you and Dom could have just been at the shopping centre. It could have, you know, and I'm like...
oh. And that's why we wanted to come on here and have this space where we can talk about this because it is so close to home. It's like... and I'm sure, you know, some of our listeners knew of someone that was there on Saturday, you know. It's like literally so, like the web of how you are connected to what happened on Saturday is so, like it's crazy. I go to Bondi Junction all the time, right? I was literally there like over a month ago, walking past those shops.
Yeah.
I had family friends that were meant to be there on Saturday but instead went and hung out with my mum instead. Like they go there pretty much every weekend. And the people that took the baby out of the arms of Ashley Good, turns out that they are family friends of ours and the sons of my nonna's best friend. And it just goes to show you of how close of...
Everyone's like, connected.
Of a connection.
Yeah.
That is why we wanted to come on here and... Yeah. Talk about this because you guys listening more than likely have someone that you know that was either connected, knows of someone, works there, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things. As well as the fact that it is well and truly clear enough to everyone now that he targeted females, you know, five females killed. And we know that the rates of violence against women in this country, unfortunately, are just getting worse and worse. You know, 2 in 5 women, which is 39% of women, have experienced violence since the age of 15. This is according to ourwatch.org.au. Those numbers are too high.
So now I guess we're getting into a different conversation around this whole topic, and the whole violence against women. Like, I am very grateful that I've never personally myself experienced anything. I've witnessed a lot with girlfriends. I've witnessed things with exes, parents, but I've never personally... Nothing has ever physically happened to me. But again, like, even with this whole thing that happened in Bondi, and for me, I really struggle to understand.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I genuinely can't actually understand why this is even a thing.
It's such an incredibly horrendous atrocity that it is. It's one, like, you... You could lay there at night and just think about this constantly. It's like, why? We do now know through the media and through actually hearing the perpetrator's father speak that he, you know, he hated women because he couldn't get a girlfriend.
Yeah, I did hear that yesterday.
And how many murders, how many attacks on women happen because men... are either jealous, they feel that they aren't good enough.
They don't want anyone else to have you.
It happens all over Australia on a weekly basis. On average, one woman is killed every 9 days by a current or former partner in this country. Which, when you think about that, is a horrific statistic. Yeah, that's being killed by someone that you know.
That you potentially once loved, lived with, had a family with, grew a family, like, you know, started a life with. Like, it's so hard to fathom.
As women in society, we don't feel safe.
No.
We don't feel safe to do the things that we want to do and that we should be able to do with no danger attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
That being going to the shops on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or going for a run.
Yeah.
You know, in the morning, because that's when you've got time to go for a run.
I mean, only recently I was out early taking stuff to the Salvos and it was still dark and I saw a guy crossing the road with a balaclava on and I took a video of him. And then I called Guy and he called the police straight away, and this was on the end of our street. And I'm like, well, I can't go for a run now.
Yeah.
And then before we saw him walking by with a fucking balaclava on, there was a woman jogging in the dark. And I'm thinking, I feel like I needed to follow her just to make sure that, you know, yeah. she was going to be okay. And it's happening. There's a lot happening, you know, in my street where I live. I live in St. Kilda East. It doesn't have the greatest reputation, but I'm scared to even set foot outside my door at 5 a.m. if I'm not with Guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm genuinely scared. We've got cameras. We've got, you know, things getting recorded of people on our street, you know, clearly on drugs or in psychosis because yeah. they're screaming and they're out of their mind.
And the thing is, it's very hard to differentiate when you're visually looking at this person if they yeah. are mentally ill, are they on drugs, are they in a psychosis? Because the mannerisms mm. and the actions of these people are quite similar.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get confused. It's like, okay, am I dealing with someone that is on drugs? Which, yeah. I mean, not any better.
No.
You know, and if they are mentally unwell because maybe they are living rough at the moment or, you know, they're going through something, all of that is just heightened. So it's crazy to me. Like, I will open social media on a daily basis and see something that a woman has posted about feeling unsafe, whether it be on a run, whether that be a man.
Even just walking, you know, the dog. Catcalling. Even like there's been times where I've walked Yuki and I'm carrying her because she's stopped walking and, you know, there might just be 5 meters up the road, a sus looking guy on a bike. Straight away, I'm like, where's he going? Sometimes I cross the road.
Yeah.
I go to the other side of the road because I'm like, I can see a guy over there that just, I don't know, something doesn't look very safe. So my intuition says cross the road.
Well, these are things that we have to think about as women.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that is how we have to live. And men have the luxury of not having to think about that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Not having to think that if they go for a walk in the morning, which is their God-given right to walk down a street, that you potentially...
You're less likely to be attacked or something than a woman. Like, you're less likely.
Yeah.
Which is why.
Like,
why is that even a thing? You know, do we need to legalize pepper spray? Like, is that, you know, why if I've got pepper spray in my bag, is that illegal of me?
I mean, I'll tell you guys right now. That's what I googled. Like, on Sunday, 100%. I was in shock on Sunday.
Yeah,
not being able to look away from the news and see the fucking devastation and just how horrible, and just thinking. Number one, like, oh my God, the absolute just heartbreak of these people and their family, like it's just reached so many people. And like, even if a person, you know, the people that were stabbed that are still in hospital that didn't pass away, how is that going to affect them for the rest of their life? Their family, the first responders, people that saw everything that happened. Like, there are like thousands upon thousands of people that are going to be affected because they were on site that day, but also people that have been watching the coverage, heightening anxieties. You know, for the first time today, I had to step into a shopping centre to go to Australia Post. Guys, I felt so anxious that I didn't want to go to Australia Post in that shopping centre. I was like, Domenica, you can't let this stop your life. I walked into the shopping centre and I've never had this thought in my entire life, but the first thing I thought was, if something was to happen, how do I get out of here? I've never had to think about that. I've never had to have an escape plan. Is that what we need to do now?
I know.
Like, it's a genuine question. Like, who is going to, like do the police going to make, you know, a statement to say, you know, it would be, you know, smart if you are aware of your surroundings now when you go into a public place? Like, what the fuck? Is that what we need to do?
I mean, it feels like there are so many situations, places, large crowded. I mean, there's been, I think, enough occasions or, you know, devastating things that have happened that have told us it's the large crowd, you know, that's the target. Or like, even, you know, artists that play and festivals and like those like, you know, Taylor Swift and like obviously the
security. There's security. There's like metal detectors. It begs the question, but do there need to be metal detectors now going into a shopping centre? I mean, that is insane that we are even thinking about that in Australia. Like this is, we've now reached a point where it's like, holy shit, man. You know, like in America, they've got metal detectors in their schools and those kind of places. But understandably, because horrific tragedies have happened with guns. And thank God in Australia, you know, guns have been outlawed for many years. And, you know, of course, there are still some illegal ones that pop up in, you know, crime gangs and stuff. But the fact that people, you know, like the perpetrator on the weekend are using like hunting knives that you can buy legally.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know how a person with a mental illness can buy a hunting knife legally. I mean, that needs to be looked at.
Do you need like a license?
Well, I know for hunting purposes, to have a hunting gun as a person that lives on a rural property, you need to go through rigorous testing. You need to do psychological testing. You need to the police come and visit you at your home to make sure that it is locked up. Like I know all of this because my brother has that because they live on rural property, right? So you do all that for a gun. To buy a hunting knife,
is it the same?
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Like, come on. How would a man with schizophrenia get a fucking hunting knife, babe? Like, come
Black
on.
Market. I mean, fuck. We live in a world where...
But then it's like, if he had the premeditation to then go and do that and buy it off the black market, knowing that he wanted to attack people to cause maximum harm, are you mentally ill?
And then didn't his dad confiscate... like a lot of knives or something?
At some point. Like so I think earlier this year maybe.
Okay. So there's a bit of history with that.
Yeah. And he just took off and went to Sydney. And it's like, okay, so.
Yeah.
And you can't, I know a lot of people would be angry at the parents and like blaming the parents and saying, why didn't you do anything? And I think that they'd be blaming themselves from what we saw the news. It was very hard to watch.
It was very upset. That was probably the one like that really set me off seeing his dad speak. Oh, I mean, again, like trying to put yourself in their shoes, imagining if that was your kid and like clearly they were so.
Considering they've tried to help him his entire life.
And I mean, the father said himself, like he was unwell and he's suffered for a very long time. And it's just like, it's a lot.
And then on the other hand, you have all of the families of the victims that have lost their lives in a senseless attack. And it's like, so where, and you don't have to have teams to where your sympathies lie. It's a fucked up situation all around, guys. Yeah, I don't know what's going to be done. I don't know. I know the government's putting in like $18 million for an inquest into what happened. I mean, would that money be better off spent into the mental health system, into dealing with that? Because I know for a fact that there are very few mental health facilities in Sydney alone. I don't know about the rest of the country, but, you know, would our money be better off spent putting there? Look, these are all the questions that we have, but I think to end off this chat, we just wanted to say that there are people and things available if you are currently struggling, whether that be you are struggling at watching the news cycle at the moment, you are going through your own mental health struggles right now, or you just need someone to talk to. There is always someone available, whether that be on Lifeline, Beyond Blue. We will leave all of the numbers and the links in our show notes because, you know, there is always someone there that is going to listen to you guys. You're never alone. I think that's a message I really want to get across here. When you are in the deepest of darkest of places, and I'm sure that this person who committed this atrocious attack was in that position.
Yeah.
Which at the end of the day is really fucking sad.
Yeah, it is.
He had to get to that.
Yeah.
There is always someone there that is going to listen. Even if you feel that your family has abandoned you, your friends, there is always someone that is willing to listen to you on Beyond Blue, Lifeline. It's 24-hour support. You can give them a call. They can give you advice. Or if you just need someone to talk to. And I know during COVID, you know, 3 years ago, I was in a pretty dark place and I myself called Lifeline and just had a chat.
Yeah.
You know, just had a chat just to say, yeah, I am feeling low right now. I'm, you know, it was a very isolated period of time, COVID.
Yeah.
And when you are feeling a little bit, you know, low with your mental health, talking about it and vocalizing how you feel is the first step to getting yourself better.
Yeah.
I just want to really, like, yeah, I really want to make note of that in today's episode. And, yeah, just to end off that, our sympathies in our hearts and our prayers go out to the victims of this horrendous attack. It's one of those things that I think is going to change our country. It's going to change Sydney. It's going to change the way people go about. I mean, for a few years at least, it's going to people are going to really, you know, it's very similar to when the Lint tragedy occurred, I think almost 10 years ago now.
And the Bourke Street.
And the Bourke Street, yep. It changes.
Yeah, it does.
The country. It changes the city. But, yeah, we're here, guys, if you ever want to sneak into our DMs.
Yeah.
You can join the Facebook group if you just want someone to chat to. But, yeah, don't forget there's always Lifeline and Beyond Blue. And we will leave all of those phone numbers and all of those links in our show notes. You are not alone, and you don't have to go through a tough time alone.
Yeah.
And it saddens me that some people feel like they have to go it alone. But, yeah. Spread love and kindness, guys. I know it feels as though in this dark times right now, it can seem a bit helpless. You know, I know me, I was like, what can I do? Is there anything I can do to help? Like, you just want to help.
Yeah.
I think the main thing that we can do as individuals is be kind, love one another.
Yeah.
That is the best thing that we can do in this terrible time to get us all through as society. That is the ripple effect that you can do. It doesn't cost you anything. Just maybe smile at a stranger.
Yeah.
Ask someone how their day is going when you're picking up your coffee tomorrow. Like, it's the little things life that we can change and make someone's day better. And I think when you feel helpless, especially in this current situation where everything just feels so
frozen
in time, it's sad, like heavy.
It really is. It's like everything stopped.
That's the little things you can do. And we love you guys.
We love you guys. And it's a bit of a – it's weird. We've never really recorded anything
it's
like
weird.
This.
It is. And it's like we didn't want to come here and act like nothing had happened because that's not who we are and that we're not going to do that. For something that has happened so close to home and that I'm, you know, unfortunately has probably affected some of our listeners and some people in our community.
Yeah.
I think it's the least that we can do and show our support, help you guys if you need to reach out to someone and just let you know that there are things available out there.
Yeah.
So we love you. Stay strong. Be kind to one another and have a great day wherever you are.
Yeah. Love you guys. Bye.